Married at First Sight. Chapter 3253. Sonny asked, "Dad, have you eaten?" Hank responded warmly, "I haven't eaten yet, and I'm not hungry yet. If we take two more orders, I will go to Eve." "Sonny, you must have eaten." Sonny responded, "After eating, my aunt and Aunt Jasmine took me to eat hot pot. I met Aunt Chelsea and the others at the hot pot restaurant. Brother Lucas greeted me, but my aunt covered his mouth. I don't know why." Lucas's grandparents were also there, and many of them were eating hot pot. "I only have my aunt, Aunt Jasmine, and Sister Abby. There are only four of us." Hank didn't care at first. He smiled and said, "Sonny, you also met your Aunt Chelsea. Did you say hello to her?" "No," Sonny answered honestly. "Brother Lucas called me, and Auntie Chelsea covered Brother Lucas's mouth." "Dad, what does Auntie mean?"
"Hank, she ignores you," he finally reacted. When Chelsea saw Sonny, she didn't let Lucas and Sonny say hello. Was it because she was afraid that when Serenity went over to say hello, they would eat hot pot together? Having been siblings for decades, Hank understood Chelsea. "Well, my aunt took me away." Sonny didn't feel like he was complaining at all, he just told Hank what he saw. Sonny said, "Dad, I like to eat hot pot. My aunt gave me a lot of my favorite food. It's delicious." While we were eating, Aunt Chelsea came. She told my aunt that she didn't bring her mobile phone, but I clearly saw her using her mobile phone to make a call and said, "Mom, please transfer $2,000 to me." Hank's face turned dark on the other side of the phone. He finally understood. The son followed Serenity to eat hot pot and met Chelsea and her family in the hot pot restaurant. Chelsea took her husband and son to eat hot pot, as well as her parents-in-law. Then Lucas saw Sonny and wanted to say hello. Chelsea was afraid that Sonny would eat hot pot together, so she wouldn't let Lucas say hello to Sonny. As a result, Chelsea went to Serenity shamelessly and said that she didn't bring her mobile phone. Sonny only said a few words, but Hank had already guessed what Chelsea wanted to do when she found Serenity. Perhaps Chelsea wanted Serenity to lend her money or help her settle the bill. Hank knew Serenity would refuse, and then Chelsea actually called her mother and asked her to transfer $2,000 to her. He was so angry that he was half dead. In the past, his parents had been helping Chelsea take care of the children and living in her home. The money he gave to his parents and his parents' pension were all subsidized to Chelsea, while the income of Chelsea and George, her husband, was saved and not spent. He had a high income, and she was Chelsea, so he didn't care about it. After that, he worked as an online taxi driver and made a lot less money each month than before. He had to pay Sonny alimony even though Sonny didn't follow him. In addition, when he was stabbed by Jessica and was hospitalized, he spent a lot of money, and his family had already been depleted. His parents' pension was okay for living in rural areas, but it was really not that much for living in big cities. Therefore, he saved one-third of the money he earned every month to give to Sonny in the future, spent one-third himself, and gave one-third to his parents for household expenses. After winter, his parents often said they wanted to go out for a hot pot meal, but he didn't have the time and was reluctant to take them out because he thought it would cost too much. As a result, Chelsea actually asked her parents for money. Chapter 3254. George's business was still decent, and Chelsea was definitely not short of money. It's okay for the whole family to eat hot pot without calling his parents. After eating, Chelsea still has to ask her mother to pay the bill. It's strange that Hank is not angry. Hank said, "Sonny, Daddy knows. Next time I'm free, I will take you to eat hot pot. I'm busy and won't talk to you anymore. You must listen to your aunt. Dad, I am very obedient. Dad, you go to work." Sonny had finished her complaint and ended the call with Hank happily. Serenity listened from beginning to end. After Sonny handed the phone back to Serenity, Serenity tapped Sonny's forehead and said, "Sonny, you have learned how to complain." However, Chelsea really went too far. It had nothing to do with Serenity, and she didn't care. If Sonny wanted to file a complaint, it would be the Brown family's business. If Serenity told Hank, Hank might suspect that she deliberately set up Chelsea. If Sonny said it, Hank would not have any doubts. Sonny blinked his big eyes and asked Serenity, "Auntie, am I complaining? I told Dad what I saw and heard, so why am I complaining?" Serenity smiled and pinched his little face. "Yes, Sonny is telling the truth. That Aunt Chelsea of yours is also too much, but the people who caused your aunt to be like this are your grandparents and your father. They are all responsible because they pampered your Aunt Chelsea to be like that. If Hank's parents and Hank did not help Chelsea unconditionally from the beginning, would Chelsea get used to sucking blood from her natal family?" Serenity said, "As long as your father pays child support every year and doesn't owe you child support, we have no control over how their family spends their money." Sonny said, "Dad said it was very tiring for him to earn money by driving. Every time I went to my dad's place, he would tell me to study hard and be a good person. In the future, I will be a big boss and work in an office. I could make a lot of money. Don't be like Dad does that." Serenity brought Sonny over, and she let him sit in her arms. She said, "Then you should study hard and be a good person." Sonny said, "Auntie, I will." Serenity said, "Your father treats you quite well. You are his only child, after all. If he raised you when you were young, you will have to support him when he is old." Sonny nodded in understanding. Serenity hugged Sonny and said no more. No matter how good the Brown family was, Hank always tried to denigrate Duncan in front of Sonny, but he was always Sonny's father. He paid child support on time, cared about Sonny, and fulfilled the basic responsibilities of a father. Serenity didn't want to criticize Hank in front of Sonny. She also hoped that Sonny would be an optimistic and broad-minded person when he grew up. Abby returned to the Wiltspoon Hotel. She met Evan on the first floor of the hotel. She stopped, looked at Evan, and raised her eyebrows. "Evan, are you waiting for me here?" Evan said, "Abby, you're overthinking. I am eating here." Abby smiled and said, "Then I won't chat with you. Sister Saren invited me to eat hot pot. I'm a little full. I want to go back to the room to rest." Evan said, "You're too stuffed to eat. Shouldn't you go for a walk to relieve yourself? Sister-in-law, treat you to a hot pot. My sister-in-law is so kind to you. Abby replied, I don't want to move around anymore. Sister Saren is very good. I came here hoping to find a boyfriend to go back to. Maybe I will be disappointed, but it's good to have two more sisters. Evan said, we've only met a few times, and the elder sister is the younger sister. Abby, I only now know how good you are at flattering. Chapter 3255. Abby said, don't we hit it off right away with Sister Saren and Sister Jasmine? Do we have to flatter each other? Evan paused and said, since you're back and we're in trouble again, why don't I accompany you for a walk outside to eat and talk about our affairs, by the way? I won't come over tomorrow. Yes, I'm also very busy at work. After thinking about it, Abby also felt that it would be better to negotiate tonight. In fact, there was no need to talk about it, she already knew Evan's answer. Evan had made it clear to her last night, but she didn't say she was giving up on him at that time, so he had to talk to her as a last resort. Okay, then accompany me for a walk to eat. What if I come back from the walk and I'm hungry again? If I exercise and use up my energy, I will be hungry. Evan, I finally understand why you can hit it off with my sister-in-law and Jasmine. They were all foodies. Why didn't he know she loved eating so much? All he knew was that she was not very picky about food, and she was much better than Tatum's partner, Elora, anyway. He heard that Tatum's partner, Elora, had a particularly picky mouth. Because of her picky mouth, she often changed chefs, so Tatum went to work as a cook for his future wife. He didn't know if Tatum's pursuit of his wife went smoothly. Evan quickly pulled back his thoughts and laughed at himself. His affairs were making him feel overwhelmed. How could he be in the mood to care about whether Tatum's pursuit of his wife went smoothly? Tatum still had plenty of time, but he only had a few months, unlike Tatum, who had just started and had a full year. A boy from the York family would never lose. He believed that, after a year, Tatum could come back with his partner. Evan said, if you get hungry later, I'll treat you to a midnight snack. Okay, I won't let you go hungry. When I come to Wildspoon, I will always do my best to treat you as a landlord and treat you to a meal. Abby pretended to take two steps forward to hold his arm, which scared Evan, who jumped away quickly. Evan said, Abby, we are not that good. Abby smiled playfully. Evan was stunned for a moment. Why did he feel that Abby's playful smile looked a bit familiar? Maybe he had seen her smile like this when he deliberately approached her in Hyribity. Evan, you're a man, and you're afraid of being taken advantage of by me. I'm kidding you. Your reaction really hurts my self-esteem. If you hurt me too badly, I can't give up. I'll always get it back, otherwise, I would be so sorry for the injury I suffered. Evan, I just don't want people to misunderstand. Evan, are you famous in Wildspoon? Abby asked Evan as she walked outside the hotel. I have just been here for 2 days, and I have asked about your brothers. The most famous one is your eldest brother. Your second and third brothers are also somewhat famous. Starting with you, the fourth young master, Many people don't even know how old you are.
What kind of thing?
You are not famous.
If I didn't hold your arm, even if I hung on to you, I wouldn't be on the headlines in Wildspoon.
Who knows the two of us?
Evan opened his mouth, but no words came out.
Abby's shamelessness left him speechless.
No one knows us, so no one will misunderstand us.
Others will only think that we are a young couple.
As Abby walked, she turned around and asked him, "Where should we go for a stroll?
Is there a park nearby?
Take me to the park for a walk."
Chapter 3256. After Evan was silent, he said, "It takes about 10 minutes to walk to a park.
The park is not very big, but you can stroll around.
The scenery is pretty good.
If you're not afraid of getting tired, then go for a walk there."
Abby said, "If I can't walk anymore, just carry me back."
"Evan, I don't know how to take a taxi, and I'm carrying you back, won't I be tired?"
Abby said to him, "You don't know how to show mercy to women.
Anyway, I am the wife chosen by your grandma for you.
If you hadn't had second thoughts, I would be the future fourth young mistress of your York family.
It is said that the men of the York family love their wives very much.
You don't want to break the fine tradition of men in the York family and become a man who does not love his wife.
The wife is sensible, and a man who dotes on his wife can make a fortune."
Evan curled his lips and said to her, "There are a lot of lies.
Also, I don't have any second thoughts.
It's good that you are the one chosen by my grandma, but we haven't confirmed our relationship yet.
We are not boyfriends and girlfriends.
We both have the right to love freely.
You can like other men, and I can like other women."
Abby said, "I just like you, what should I do?"
"Evan, do you really not like me at all?
I've known you for a few months, and I don't feel like you hate me.
You also said that you don't hate me."
Evan didn't look at her but walked side by side with her, saying as he walked, "I went back to Wildridge Manor in the morning."
Abby said, "Wildridge Manor?
Why don't you tell me so that I can go back with you to meet your grandma?
I really want to know how she knew about me and why she chose me to be your wife.
She did this to me, but it hurt me.
Look, I was pursued by you for a while, and my heart fell in love, but you walked away and said that you have no love for me and that you really can't fall in love with me, which makes me feel sad.
My relationship is about to end before it even begins.
I'm emotionally hurt.
Isn't it your grandma's fault?
I want to settle the score with her, and I'll visit your Wildridge Manor, by the way."
Evan quickly spoke for his grandma. He said, "This is my problem and has nothing to do with my grandma. My grandma can choose you for me because you are too good, and my grandma likes you very much, so she takes a fancy to you.
It's because I can't synchronize my eyes with my grandma's, so it's my fault, not my grandma's problem.
If you feel unhappy, just scold me or hit me, but don't scold my grandma."
Grandma hadn't been scolded for a long time.
Evan was afraid that if Abby really went to his grandma to settle the score and scolded her, she wouldn't be able to bear it and would be furious.
Then he was really unfilial.
Did he really have no feelings for Abby?
"Did you tell your grandma when you went back that you really had no feelings for me?"
Abby could guess it. She already knew that Evan had returned to Wildridge Manor. She just said those words to tease him, and seeing him anxious made her feel better. Abby was not bad. She, the second young lady of the Dew family, was also the dream lover of many men in Hyribity. When Evan arrived, Evan didn't love her. Abby really felt that her self-esteem was damaged. Evan didn't say anything, so he acquiesced. Abby sighed and said, "I think your grandma respects your choice. They say that the elders in your family are very open-minded. I can guess the result. Evan, I originally wanted to fight for myself, but now that I think about it, I might as well forget it. If you give up on me today, if you regret it later and want to step into my home, it won't be that easy." Chapter 3257. Evan cursed in his heart. Why did Grandma and Abby both tell him not to regret it in the future? What did he regret? Who he really liked and what he wanted, he didn't know yet. He was no longer a 3-year-old child, he was almost 30 years old and had a very mature mind. He didn't let himself do anything he would regret. What Abby said was similar to what Grandma said. No wonder Grandma liked Abby. Evan said, "Abby, I never do anything that I regret. Even if the decision I make is not good, I will face it calmly and have no regrets." Abby smiled and said, "Okay, I understand. Since you really can't fall in love with me, I won't force it. It's not like I can't get married, so why bother pestering you to let me go? I won't lose my price." She also grew up pampered by her parents and was the apple of her family's eye. It was not like no one wanted her. The Dew family was also a wealthy family in Hyribity, and she, the second young lady, had status. As long as she wanted to get married, there were many men lining up to marry her. She didn't have to worry about a man who didn't care about her. "Abby, although we can't be husband and wife, we can still be business partners. In fact, I really don't hate you. My sister-in-law and you get along well. You can be friends and come to Wildspoon as a guest when you have time." Abby stopped and looked at him for a moment, then walked forward again. She looked at the feasting in the distance and said, "Our family's business focus is in Hyribity, and your York family's business focus is in Wildspoon. Although there are branches all over the major cities, if you want to do business, I'm afraid it will be difficult. In some industries, the two of us are still competitors. Although there are no permanent enemies or permanent friends in the business world, I don't think the chance of our cooperation is high. Moreover, I have liked you, and you still want to cooperate with me in business and let us meet often. I'm afraid that my heart will become active again after I let it go, and I can't help but fall in love with you again. If I pursued you, wouldn't I get it for myself? Cut yourself twice? Evan, I don't want to do this kind of thing. My dealings with Sister Saren are between us two women and have nothing to do with you. I won't disturb you when I come to Wildspoon in the future. Don't worry, Evangelist." Evan smiled and said, "Abby, you're a person who can take things up and let them go. I didn't think too much about it. I'm sorry." In fact, what Evan said was polite, and he didn't want to embarrass Abby too much. Unexpectedly, Abby was so open-minded that, after giving up on him, She did not want to have any contact with him anymore and would never see him again when she came to Wildspoon. This was the best. If they don't meet and have any interactions, his future wife will not misunderstand her, even if the one he likes is also a cheerful, bright, and generous girl. Do you usually go out shopping? Abby asked casually, but she also changed the topic and stopped talking about feelings. Because they had no feelings at all. Feelings are like that, love is real love, and not loving is really not loving. She could pick it up and put it down. Very little, no time, too busy with work. He had to go in and out of the car. After he finished his work, it was already midnight. Where did he have time to go shopping? Abby thought of his identity, nodded, and said, "Yes, too busy. Me too. I don't know how long it has been since I went shopping with my best friends. If I need anything, call the major brands, and they will send it to me. I don't need to go out at all." If she has time to go shopping, she might as well handle the documents properly. Evan, understood. However, we still have to balance work and rest. Good health is the greatest wealth. Chapter 3258. Abby said, "We have known each other for more than 3 months, and you also know that I will insist on exercising every day. It's rare to take a leisurely walk like this, look at the night view of a big city, and watch everyone hurrying towards different lives. In order to come to Wildspoon, I worked overtime and worked hard for 10.5 days before I could squeeze out a few days to come here." Abby didn't say any more. Evan said apologetically, "I'll take you for a midnight snack later." "Abby, okay." The two of them walked for more than 10 minutes to the park Evan mentioned. After entering, they walked around in the park. When they came out, more than an hour had passed. Evan asked Abby, "Are you going to have a midnight snack now?" Abby said, "No need. I just felt like my stomach wasn't so full anymore. I feel a little better. If I try to eat again, I'll feel uncomfortable again. Forget it, I'll just remember it for tonight's supper. If I want to eat it someday, I'll let you treat me to food. Evan." Abby said they would never meet again, so how could Evan treat her to a late-night snack? Forget it, let her do whatever she says. The most important thing was that she was happy. Evan was afraid that she would be unhappy, so he suddenly said that he wanted fair competition and so on. Therefore, whatever she said, Evan followed her and sent her away from Wildspoon safely. From now on, he could approach the girl he really liked without any pressure. That girl he didn't know where she ran away. It was really like a dragon that had seen its beginning but not its end. From the moment he met her, she always came and went whenever she wanted. He wanted to ask where she lived, but he couldn't. He secretly took a lot of photos of her and then asked people to take her photos to find her whereabouts. As a result, no one recognized her and said they had never seen this person. If he had not touched her and knew that she had body temperature and was not cold, he would have thought that he had encountered a ghost, because no such person could always be found. "Evan, I'm tired from walking, and I don't want to leave. Can you carry me back to the hotel?" Evan didn't speak, but he stopped and stopped the car on the side of the road. Soon he stopped a taxi, opened the door, and made a gesture of invitation towards her. Abby pursed her lips and got in the car. Evan did not follow her into the car but just said to the driver, "Take her to the Wildspoon Hotel." He took out another $100, handed it to the driver, and said, "This is my fare for her. If there is more, consider it a tip for you." The driver smiled, took the money, and thanked him. It was very close to the Wildspoon Hotel from here, and it didn't even cost $100 in fare. So, he got more tips than the fare. Evan said, "Abby, I'll go back first. After you return to the hotel, go to bed early. Good night." "Okay, bye." Abby waved to him and closed the car door herself. Even if she teased him, he wouldn't cooperate. She didn't know if the men of their York family had ever cheated on the woman they liked. "Brother, let's drive," Abby said to the driver. The taxi driver drove away, and the car quickly drove away. Evan stood on the side of the road and watched for a few minutes before taking out his mobile phone and calling his driver to inform him to drive over and take him home. Chapter 3259. After waiting for several minutes, Evan's driver drove over. The driver pulled over and parked the car. Evan told him not to get out of the car, opened the door, and got in the car. The driver turned his head and looked around and asked instinctively, "Fourth young master, weren't you going out with a young and beautiful girl?" After Evan sat down, he said, "There is no need to look for it. I called a taxi for her and took her back to the hotel. Let's drive, go home, and go back to my home." He had a small home in the city instead of returning to Wildridge Manor. He just returned to Wildridge Manor during the day. The driver said while driving, "I thought that girl was the fourth young master's girlfriend." Evan said, "No, she's a friend of your eldest mistress. I've only known her for a few months. I don't know where your future fourth mistress is yet." He really didn't know where his future wife was. He didn't even know where the Fox lived. Fox had been to Wildspoon and went to York's Corporation to find him. When Zachary said that Evan was not working at York's headquarters, Fox left. At that time, Zachary called him, and he lied and refused to admit that he had provoked others. But as soon as the phone hung up, he immediately went to look for the Fox, but unfortunately, he could not find her. He didn't know where she stayed when she came to Wildspoon. He missed her very much. He didn't know when they could meet again. Evan leaned on the back of the car seat and turned his head to look at the street scene outside, imagining the scene where he and the Fox would go shopping and visit the park together. He didn't have time to spend time with Abby, but if Fox asked him to spend time with her, he would have plenty of time. Work was important, and finding the Fox was more important to him than his job. Abby came, and Evan didn't have time to entertain her. He said he was very busy. If he were a Fox, Evan would be very free. In fact, this is the difference between love and not love. The driver smiled and said, "As long as the fourth young master wants to look for her, it will be easy to find the fourth young mistress for us." He had been a full-time driver for Evan since Evan entered society. He could be regarded as an old driver who had worked for the York family for many years and knew that the young masters of the York family were all excellent. As long as they wanted to marry, There were many women who wanted to marry them. The driver said, "The second young master and the third young master have their spouses. Fourth, young master, you should hurry up. We are all waiting for the young masters to marry the young mistresses. We can have a wedding wine and get a big red envelope." When Zachary and Serenity held their wedding, everyone who worked in the York family, regardless of their position, received a big red envelope and could also have a meal at the villa. Although Callum and Cameron had received their marriage certificate, they had not held a wedding ceremony yet, so they had not had the wedding wine yet. Kevin heard that he would get married after the new year. Maybe the two young masters' weddings would be held together, which would make it lively. They, as workers, were just looking forward to a happy event in the master's family, and they could get red envelopes. The amount in the red envelope was worth 10 days' salary. Evan laughed, "You are here to eat and get red envelopes. Don't you really hope that I will find happiness?" "Sincerely, very sincerely." "Fourth, young master, I have driven for you for several years. You're very good to me. You give me a raise every year and give me many vacations. I'm very satisfied with this job, and I can't thank you enough. Yes, I sincerely hope that you will find happiness as soon as possible." The driver was very loyal. He added, "You have to hurry up at your age." "Fourth young master. When I was around your age, my daughter was already in kindergarten." Chapter 3260. Evan said, "Comparing people to each other is so irritating. Look, I'm so busy every day. How can I have time to fall in love?" The driver said, "The eldest young master is even busier than you. He has time to fall in love with the eldest young mistress. Why can't you spare the time?" Evan was speechless when his driver urged him to get married. After a while, he smiled and said, "I really don't know where she is. What can I do if I can't find her? I can only wait and wait for the next opportunity to meet her." The driver often drove for Evan, and he met Fox once. He was also deeply impressed by the girl in red. When driving for Evan, he also heard Evan asking Josh to help investigate the girl in red. He asked speculatively, "Fourth young master, do you like the girl in red?" "Evan, the girl in red? Oh, she wore red once. Every time I see her, the color of her clothes is different." The driver said, "I've only seen her once, because when my car stopped that time, you couldn't wait to get out of the car and run to her. I took a look at her and didn't dare to look at her more. Later, I heard that you asked young master Josh for help, and I guessed it was the girl in red. Therefore, when they drive for these wealthy young men, they have to be very tight-lipped because they can often see or hear things that the bosses do not want outsiders to know." Evan smiled and said, "I like her quite a lot. But Abby just now likes me, but I don't like her. Maybe it's fate. You saw Abby and I walking out of the hotel. You have been here. What do you think of Abby?" The driver said, "Fourth young master, you don't like her, so why ask her what to do?" "I said she's pretty good, will you like her?" Evan choked again. He sighed and said, "Don't mention it. I'll take a nap for a while. Call me again when you get home." The driver said, "Fourth young master, it's still 10 minutes drive, So you still need to sleep. Without waiting for Evan to reply, the driver said, "Go to sleep, fourth young master, you can just relax for 10 minutes. I will wake you up when we get home." Evan closed his eyes and rested his mind. 10 minutes later. Back at the door of Evan's small villa, the driver saw the girl in red. He quickly stopped the car, turned around, and shouted, "Fourth young master, fourth young master, wake up quickly, the girl in red is here again." Wearing a red coat, it was particularly eye-catching. Evan, whose eyes were closed, sat up quickly and asked, "Where is she?" The driver pointed to the top of the wall of the villa yard and said, "On the top of the wall, her red coat is so eye-catching." Evan took a closer look and actually saw the fox standing on the wall of his house. He was indeed dressed in red, and the red coat on the outside was particularly eye-catching. The next moment, Evan pushed open the car door and got out of the car quickly. He ran quickly to the wall, looked up, and asked the beautiful woman on the wall, "How do you know I live here? What are you doing here?" "Evan, give me back my things." Fox looked down at Evan condescendingly, her pretty face tightened, looking a bit cold, and she ordered Evan to return her things to her. If he hadn't taken her things, she wouldn't have chased him all the time. Evan smiled and said, "Since you're here, let's go in and have a cup of tea. You can also have a midnight snack. And I don't remember where I threw your things. If you ask me for them, I really won't be able to get them out for a while." Chapter 3261. The fox stared at Evan with a dark face. Evan spread his hands towards her and said, "What I said is true. Let me take it out now. I really don't remember where I put it, and I can't take it out. How about you go in and see if you can find it? Or you can strip me *ket and see if there's anything hidden in me." The fox jumped down from the wall. Evan tensed up immediately and opened his arms to catch her, but was kicked by her as she jumped down. He took a few steps back after being kicked by her, but did not catch her. She landed firmly in front of him. Evan breathed a sigh of relief. Although he was kicked by her and it hurt a little, he didn't seem to care. He just patted the place where he was kicked to remove the footprints. "My wall is quite high. Don't jump down from it. What if you lose your footing and fall?" Evan talked about her. "You can fall, but I won't." Fox said it angrily. She stretched out her hand and grabbed Evan's collar. With a tug, Evan was pulled forward by her. Evan didn't struggle, and he let her pull. She ran her hands through his pockets and trouser pockets but found nothing except his cell phone and wallet. She opened his wallet, and her face darkened. There was a small photo of her stuffed in his wallet. It should be that he secretly photographed her, posted it, and then stuffed it in his wallet. When did he secretly take photos of her? She only had a few interactions with him, and she really didn't notice that he secretly took photos of her. Without thinking, she pulled out the small photo and asked him, "When did you secretly take the photo?" "Evan, are you polite enough to secretly take a photo of me like this and hide my photo in your wallet? That's a sneaky act. Like a thief, the Yuk family's good reputation will be ruined by you." Evan smiled, his face a little red. When he saw her for the first time, He didn't expect that the woman he had been entangled with in his dream for so long would actually exist in reality, so he secretly photographed her. The photo was posted later. He was attracted to her, so he posted the photo and put it in his wallet. That way, he could see her every time he opened his wallet. When he sent someone to investigate her, he also used the photos he took for the first time and gave them to his people to investigate her. That is, her name and residence were not found. The people he sent to check on her were put in sacks and beaten by her. She asked his people to come back to him with a message. If he dared to check on her again, it would be more than just a beating. When Evan saw the bodyguard, who had been beaten with a bruised face and swollen nose, he was stunned. He didn't expect that this girl's boxing and kicking skills were so powerful. His bodyguards didn't dare say they could compete with Jim and the others, but they were all good at boxing and kicking. Several of them were beaten until their faces were bruised and their noses were swollen, which showed how powerful she was. Evan apologized to her, "It's my fault. This is my personal behavior. Don't let it escalate to involve my entire York family. You've done this twice, Evan. You secretly filmed me, took my things, and I chased you all the way, but you didn't give it back to me. I don't believe a word of the nonsense you just said." The things he took from her were not big, but they were very important and meaningful to her, so she had to chase him to get them back. If it weren't for this, he would just take it and give it to her for the sake of the old lady in the York family. Chapter 3262. The thing wasn't big, so Evan wouldn't keep it at home, he would only keep it with him, but she had touched his trouser pocket just now and couldn't find it, and she didn't know where he was hiding it. "If you don't believe me, there's nothing I can do. I told you to go in and turn my house upside down. If you find it, take it back. I really don't remember where I put it. Fox, don't you think my behavior is the same as yours? You have done such sneaky things too." The fox stared at him, wanting to kick him again. In the end, she didn't kick him. Well, she felt a little guilty. It's late at night, the temperature has dropped, and it's getting colder. It's said that the cold air will move south in the next 2 days. This time, the temperature has dropped very low. The lowest temperature in Wiltspoon will drop to 6 degrees. It's very cold. Come in and have a cup of tea, let's talk slowly. Evan invited her to the villa. She was wearing a long coat, but it wasn't actually cold. The main reason was that the cold air had not moved south yet. In the past 2 days, it was not cold at all during the day and not too cold at night. Jake, the young butler brought over by Evan from Wildridge Manor, has already come out and opened the door of the villa. Jake was quite surprised to see Evan and a girl in red. After the driver drove in, Jake approached the driver and asked the driver softly, "Is the girl in red the fourth young master's favorite?" 80% yes. The driver dares not say 100%. It seemed that Evan just liked the girl in red. Just now, the girl in red was standing on the wall and jumping down. The fourth young Evan wanted to catch her. It's just that they didn't want Evan to pick her up. The fourth young master seemed a little tempted, but that girl didn't have a good attitude toward the fourth young master. Our fourth young master became a thief and took away someone's very important things, and the girl in red chased him to get them back. The driver had sharp ears and listened to gossip. Even if it was the boss's gossip, he dared to listen and liked to listen, so he kept his ears high and listened a few times.
Jake. I'll go out and take a look. Jake walked to the door of the villa and stood there, not daring to step forward and disturb Evan. But the distance was not far away, and he could hear the conversation between the two people. He heard that Evan was inviting the girl in red to come into the house. Evan said, "Come in and have a seat. You've already come here. It's not the middle of the night now. Other people's nightlife has just begun. Come in and have a cup of hot tea. I'll make you a late night snack. Treat you to a late night snack. It's for me. I apologize for your behavior." The fox glanced at Jake, who gave her a friendly smile. Evan also glanced at Jake and said to her, "This is Jake, the young butler I brought over from the villa. Fox, what's your name? You see, we have met several times. You know my name, but I don't even know your name. This is a bit unfair. I can't keep calling you by your nickname. Just now you said it was late at night, and now you say the nightlife has just begun. Evan, you are so confused." After the fox finished speaking, he left Evan and walked towards Jake.
"Jake, hello."
The fox was gentle and polite to Jake and greeted him politely. Jake quickly responded, "Girl, good evening, girl, please come inside." Chapter 3263. Jake looked at Evan again. Then he walked toward the house facing the fox. Evan touched his nose, laughed softly, and then followed into the villa and headed to the main house. The hall of the main house was brightly lit, as bright as day. Jake had already invited the girl in red to sit down on the sofa. Feeling hot after entering the room, the fox took off her long red coat, folded it, and placed it beside her. When Evan came in, Jake had already poured a glass of warm water for the fox. He motioned to Jake to rest while he came to greet the guests. Jake said in a low voice, "Fourth young master, be a gentleman and be gentle. This is not how you coax a girl." Evan also responded in a low voice, "I didn't coax her." Jake chuckled twice and walked away without reffing him. "Fourth young master, just be tough. If a girl who was willing to invite her home said that the fourth young master was not attracted to her, no one would believe it. The fourth young master was also a failure." Jake heard from the driver that he had met her several times, but he didn't know her name. He only knew that her nickname was Fox. When he saw a girl, he screamed like a fox. People who didn't know might think he liked animals called foxes. Evan felt that Jake's had multiple meanings. Jake walked away. Evan couldn't ask him again, and the fox was still there. He went to wash some fruit for the distinguished guest, put it on a fruit plate, took it out, and placed it on the coffee table. "Eat some fruit. I usually don't like snacks. There are no snacks or desserts at home, only fruits. Do you like sweets? If so, I will prepare some in the future so that you can have something to eat when you come over." Evan sat down opposite her. Looking at her pretty face, his eyes were a little fiery, but he didn't know it.
"Evan,
Where are the things? Don't lie to me. You have a good memory, and it's impossible to forget. How can you be willing to return the things to me? It was left to me by my elders, and it means a lot to me. Give me my things back, and I promise not to trouble you in the future, and I'll give you peace of mind. She didn't come to Wildspoon often, she was so busy. Evan picked up a piece of fruit pulp with his fork and handed it to her. With stern eyes and a smile, he said, "Eat some fruit. I'll look for it later and send it to you if I find it. Where do you live? Can't you tell me, what's your name?" The fox took the fork from Evan's hand and ate the piece of fruit gracefully. Then Evan would eat the pulp himself. After eating several pieces, she put down her fork, looked directly at Evan, whose pretty face was frosty, and said coldly, "Evan, stop playing tricks on me. You take my things because you want me to come see you from time to time. You also want to know my name and where I live. I didn't expect you to be so shameless." Evan wasn't angry after what she said, he still smiled. Evan said, "Sometimes, I am shameless, but sometimes, why do I need shame? What did Grandma say about pursuing his wife with shame? If he wanted a face, he couldn't chase his wife." Zachary lowered his arrogant head for the sake of serenity. He was extremely shameless and was often slapped in the face. In exchange for the happy life that today is extremely enviable. Evan felt it was worth it. Therefore, he was shameless. Chapter 3264. Anyway, Evan showed off his cards to his grandma and made it clear to Abby that he no longer had any psychological burden and could pursue the girl he really liked openly. "Fox," Evan said, "I just need to know your name. If I keep calling you a fox, I feel like I'm scolding you. My nickname is Fox. As long as you say Variety Fox, everyone will know me." The fox just didn't want to say her name. "If you have the ability, just go and check it yourself. Didn't you ask someone to check on me?" The fox seemed to be smiling but was quite upset that Evan could not find out her true identity. The ever-changing fox meant that she had 100 different faces, so people didn't know which one was her. In short, no one had seen her true face since she came out to wander the world. She came to see Evan like this today, and tomorrow she would appear in front of Evan with another face. Not only would her face be different, but her voice and personality would also be different. She had learned to change her voice. If she changed her face, her speaking voice would be different, so that others would not associate her with so-and-so. Evan smiled sarcastically, "I sent someone to check you, but didn't you put a sack on my man and beat him until his face was bruised and his nose was swollen, so I didn't send anyone to check you again, lest I get sacked by you again? To be honest, your skills, as well as being mysterious and unfathomable, remind me of some old-timers who lived decades ago. I heard my grandma mention it. Grandma has special respect for them. It can be said that our brothers grew up listening to Grandma tell their stories. Our second brother is Callum, my eldest brother. He was lucky enough to meet one of them. Oh, my second brother met Lillian Carden, the old miracle doctor. My second sister-in-law was able to see the light again, thanks to Dr. Carden's treatment. She is indeed a disciple of the miracle doctor. Once she took action, my second sister-in-law could see again soon. Dr. Carden, she took advantage of her seniors, okay. Cameron's eyes were about to be cured, but the old doctor who treated Cameron's eyes died, and the treatment was interrupted, so Cameron was not cured by him. When Callum asked Dr. Carden to treat Cameron's eyes, the disease was cured, and Cameron soon regained her sight. Dr. Carden also told everyone clearly that this cannot be said to be entirely her fault but also the credit of the deceased old doctor. However, if Callum had not invited Dr. Carden to treat Cameron's eyes, Cameron would not have recovered and could only live in darkness. Fox knew who Evan was talking about, and she didn't explain. She just said, "I've also heard about the old miracle doctor. He never married and had no children. Later, he picked up a baby girl to raise. His high-profile doctor, Dr. Carden. Dr. Carden is now the fourth young lady of the Johnson family in Annenberg. People in the upper class among you all know these things, and they are not secrets." Cameron had been blind for 10 years but was cured by Dr. Carden. Dr. Carden had long become a miracle doctor in everyone's eyes. She heard that Dr. Carden was not only superb in medical skills but also powerful in using poisons. Compared with the old miracle doctor, Dr. Carden was better than his master. No one dared to offend Dr. Carden. Not only was she a superb doctor, but many people wanted to make friends with her. After all, it is impossible for a person to not get sick in their life. If he makes friends with extremely high medical skills, he can always ask Dr. Carden to see him when he gets sick.